Anyway, it's going to be.
When is Borough Park?
They're coming here.
They're coming here.
When? After the discovery. The Shabbos after the discovery.
Well, yeah, the discovery is next week.
Right. Next week.
You still looking for places to board them or not?
We're just about to have it locked up, and I need places a little bit closer and farther. How is close? These guys are from Borough Park. They don't walk a half an hour.
They
to
don't
shul.
See churches often.
I love you, Howard. But
I can't believe you guys are so hard on Howard. He's a nice guy.
I love him. I love him.
You go through the church in the backyard, open the working fence.
That's right. Every year,
I don't think the church has seen Strymel's very often either. So it's mutual.
You can do Marav Mincha at my house, whatever they do. Shelley's house.
So when we move, you can have it.
Moving to the neighborhood, and then we'll consider it.
Wow.
A breakaway minion.
Ouch.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue, and we will conclude Hilchos Yontif tonight with Hashem's help. Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Ches, Chapter 8, 119, in the Mosnayim text, page 308 and 309. We said that one is not allowed to work on Erev Yontif from Mincha Kitana, from 2.5 hours before sunset. And then we discuss on Erev Pesach, you don't work from Chatzos. And then we mentioned, we're starting your test, right?
Yeah.
And then we mentioned there's another different customs where there are those who don't even work in the morning of the 14th. And some of the customs do work on the morning of the 14th. That's we're going to continue that discussion right now. Let's even look at the places where they did have the custom to allow people to work in the morning of Erev Pesach. Still, you really shouldn't start working in the morning. Even though you can finish by Chatzos. In other words, even the ones that were lenient, that let you work in the morning, really, you shouldn't be starting in the morning to finish by Chatzos. You're wondering, what else can you do?
You finish earlier than that.
Well,
start earlier than
you
that.
You could start the night before.
Right.
You do the night shift.
They mean starting maybe a new...
No, we'll see. Yeah, right. But it means...
If you keep working from the night before,
then you could move on through the day. But here's the real point that he's trying to make in the next line over here. The only exceptions that really could work is Shalosh Umnias Bavad. Three professions. These are the ones that really, if the place where the custom was to work, these are the three that we really allow. Hein, Shemaschilim Baham, Shemakam Shinogal Asos, Osan Chatzos, that they can begin in the morning in places where the custom is to work in the morning, and they work in the Chatzos. These are them, Hachayotim, the tailors, Vasaparim, the barbers, Vakobsim, and the launderers.
You need this to get ready for Yontif.
Because that's what you need for Yontif. You need your suit fixed. You need your hair cut, and you need your clothes washed. What else do you have to do when
you're in Pesach?
No accountants. What?
No accountants.
Especially that time of year.
Right.
Okay. Aval sharum neos, but other professions, if you started before the 14th, then hushim rechazos, then we'll let you continue, and you'll finish through the morning and Chatzos.
It's quite possible the accountants would be working the night before, right?
That's right, exactly. That's right. Good. Who should run Chatzos? Then he can finish by Chatzos. Because these people, believe it or not, we don't need other professionals that much. And therefore, so it comes out, he's saying the leniency is only, even the place where you can work in the morning is number one, the three specific professions. And B, even if it's other things, it's only if you start it the night before the morning, and you run through with that. That is the Rambam.
Wait. Doctors, firemen.
Obviously, I mean, those essential services would be all right, too. But how many Jewish firemen do you know?
Doctors,
look
how many we have in the room.
How is essential is that service?
Sam, are you ever open on the
emergency? Yes, keep the emergency
open. No, I'm never
open. Keep Hatzolah open.
This is a doctor role,
but if you're a GP, you don't have to be open. You don't have to be open. You're on essential service.
Well, the day before
unless
Pesach,
it's for people who are sick.
You wouldn't
take checkups on Erev Pesach in the morning. You just take sick patients. Like, who's really sick? They got a fever. They need a doctor.
That's called every day.
Okay, but you have a certain amount of physicals, right? budget a couple physicals a day, right? So don't budget the physicals on Erev Pesach in the morning. Because that's not an essential service. Just, it's just budget, really sick people. So you might, you know, get a little early off, whatever. But, this is not everyone's opinion. The Rambam, he says over here in this footnote, is based on his interpretation of the Mishnah. Others interpret the Mishnah as it's, when it's talking about these three in the essential services, it's talking a place where it wasn't customary to work in the morning. And then they allowed those three. So, Machlovis, what did the Mishnah mean? Was it a place where they allowed and they only allowed those three? Or it's a place where they didn't allow, but they allowed those three? So where they did allow, they would allow even more. Obviously, right? You understand? So if you're learning the Mishnah that where the three are permitted is a place where you don't work in the morning, that means places where they do work in the morning includes any kind of labor. Anyway, so that therefore, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam follows the more lenient approach. So it comes out in a place where it's customary to perform all labor can be performed on the 14th of Nisan. So therefore we hold like that. So guess what? You can now all work now till noon, even if it's not an essential service, if that's the custom. So you're going to ask, well, what is the custom in Toronto? There ain't no custom, so you can do what you want. So therefore we conclude you can, you, according to the letter of the law, you can work in the morning of Erev Pesach, and you will not be punished that you won't see any bracha from what you make in the morning. However, in the spirit of the law, it would be better to take off if you can. But if you're pressed and it's difficult,
8 years in a row,
you're not considered a sinner. Not considered a sinner. Not a problem. Okay, halacha chav. So now we'll just continue with this theme. Now let's say you're traveling, you're a visitor. Let's say you lived in a place where the custom was to work in the morning on Erev Pesach, and now you happen to be on Erev Pesach in a place where they don't work on Erev Pesach. So what can you do? So lo yaseh b'yishuv, you can't work in that habitation. It'll cause strife.
Definitely will.
So what are you doing working? We don't work here. I don't cover. I don't care. But if you want to go in the desert, go do your work in the desert, because that isn't affecting anybody. Now, what about the reverse? What if your place was where you came from, you didn't work on Erev Pesach? And now you went to a place that does work on Erev Pesach. What do you do? Loyas, you can't work either.
Yeah.
In other words, what comes out? We give you the stringencies of the place where you left.
We
give you the stringency of the place you go to. So either way, you ain't gonna work. But, in the second scenario, you went from a place that you do work to the place where you
don't work,
we say you don't work. But here's the catch. The FLP came, even though you could work, but you don't work, right? They work, but you don't work. Don't show that you're not working because in my place we don't work.
We're frumer than you.
That's right, because then that will make a machlokas as well. Make it look like, you know, I have no work today. In other words, I don't have any customers today. Hey, how come you're not working? Yeah, I'm from out of town.
Who are you visiting?
Yeah.
I'm from out of town. I ain't got no customers today. You got any business for me? No, sorry. Okay. But don't say, well, you're working? We don't work.
Where I come from.
That, you don't highlight the differences between Jews.
I noticed this whole side of the table is all doctors. What's going on here?
Yeah, I said that about 5 minutes ago, actually.
That is just a coincidence. And we've got how many accountants on this site? Well, Howard, didn't you ever take accounting in university? He was an accountant. He's going to be an accountant. Four.
Yeah.
Okay, got four accountants against four doctors.
So we're well balanced.
And two businessmen. Okay. So
and one rabbi.
The two guys at the end are the businessmen.
That's the book.
Okay. Anyway, that's what the rule of the Gemara says. Li'olam al yeshane adam yifam chokas. A person shouldn't deviate from the custom of the place in order to avoid arguments. V'chein it similarly. Misha daito lachzum komo. Even, let's say you moved to a new place, but now you do plan on going back to the old place. So noe ka'an shemakomo, you go like the place where you're at, bein lohakol, bein lohakmer, whichever way, lohakol, lohakmer, we do it the same way, okay? V'hu shalo yisra b'fnei an shemakom shubo, he shouldn't show before the people where he's there, v'fnei ha'chokas kos of machlokes. Which if you plan on going back, you go like the people you're going to plan on going back to. But you can't show it off the differences. Okay. Chaval. Molichin umevin keli mibeso umen barbosor ach chatzois al pishen sechemoid. You can take and bring utensils from the craftsman's place on the 14th of Pesach after Chatzos, which we already said before, you treat it like Cholamoid. Remember? Mm-hmm. Treat it like Cholamoid. But not 100% like Cholamoid. Even though you don't need that stuff for the Moed, you can still bring, since it's not exactly like Cholamoid. There's no real Malacha. Right? You brought something back, that's all. Begorfin zel mitachas ragel behema, you can scrape away, clean away the manure from under the feet of the animal, umotzinas ashpa, and take it into the dump. Umoshivin shovachim l'tardagolim, and you can return the duck coats or the chicken coops to the chickens where they can chick. Okay, in other words, to give them a place to stand, and the roosters and the hens, and you know, you could give them a place, but you can't put eggs under them. Now, but the next point is now interesting. Tarnagola sheyoshal beitzim shloshiyam. Let's say there was a chicken who was sitting on top of eggs for 3 days, oyoser or more. It's been, what do you call it?
Hatching.
No, incubating it, yeah, right? So for 3 days. And then what happened with Mesa? The mother chicken died.
No.
It's like when we were in, 3 years ago, we went to a farm, cottage.
Oh, I remember.
And my wife wanted to, we'll feed the chickens and we'll do all this, right? So then one afternoon that we're hearing the loudest noise in the chicken coop. Ah, it's like crazy. It's going out. And there was a dog. And the dog went and he attacked those little chickens. He had one in his mouth. He killed another one.
Really? And which guess, dog? Was that your dog?
No, it was a stranger dog came. I guess it was the brave one. Moishi.
Moishi
comes. He starts running after that dog, chasing the dog
away.
He was
attached to the chickens.
Right? And so that could be a case where maybe one chicken was sitting on the egg and she died, right?
Wasn't it?
It was a whole mice there. We called the animal police. Yeah, and they wrote a whole report. And they said, will we come back to Picton, Ontario to testify in the case?
Testify to Picton.
Anyway, but that reminds me. Anyway, so the mother's been sitting on this egg for 3 days and it died. So now what are you going to do now?
Eat the egg.
Now, right? There's a problem. That's been sitting for 3 days. What does that egg look like after 3 days of warmth? It's not your good old fashioned crack the egg.
No,
it's already starting to make
there.
A little chicky inside there. It's not going to be a very tasty thing. Until 3 days, it might be a nice little egg. But after 3 days, there's something.
What did it have blood spots on? What did
it could be a lot of things going on. You might find a foot, an leg, whatever.
If it's fertilized, take it easy.
Whatever. Anyway, I guess these were fertilized eggs in those days. Right?
Why would she sit on it?
Anyway, she's sitting on it, right? So what you can do is, what's your eitzah?
What's the giras?
What
is a degira?
Where's that?
It says, look at kuf kaf zayin.
It's only worthy for the gort.
I don't know. I just presume so.
Oh, I don't know what that word means. To develop? But you can't eat it. So what do you do? Moshivin acher sechta. Put another chicken on top of it. Rabbasar, that malacha you're allowed to do. You put another chicken on top. Why? So you use the basin so the eggs won't get lost. That you could do on the 14th in the afternoon. But uba moed, banachol hamoed, which is stricter in Moshivin, you can't do that. You can't put, because that is already, it's a suffix. If it sits on it, there's a whole shaila. If it will sit on the eggs, it's not so poshut. If you take a new mother, a new chicken, and put the chicken on top of a new egg, she may say, it's not mine.
Right.
I'm not going to do it. So if you know for sure she'd sit on it, then you're doing a malacha here. You're tearing a chicken, you're plopping her on top. It's got to be a tzorech moed. Now, it's a suffix, tzorech moed. Well, if she could put you put it on and say, I'm not doing anything today. Sorry, I don't want to be on this egg. Mm-hmm. Then you wasted your time. So, chol moed, we can't do that. Erev Pesach, we treat less than chol moed, so we can put the egg chicken on top, even though it may not want to sit on it. We're not so stringent. Aval, but, im borcha ba moed me'al ha-beitzim, what if the chicken just ran away from the eggs? I don't
original
know
chicken.
Why.
Return her.
Right.
Return her back.
She's having the baby blues. So Maksir no solo makomo, you can put her back in her place, and the assumption is the mother will be willing to sit on the eggs that she just had.
Why did she leave in the first place?
Chickens get pulled.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
she
the dog came.
She got
okay,
scared.
I just want to do a couple of halakhos, and we'll finish. Next week we start Hilchos Chanukah. I made a little error. Hilchos Chanukah is not four prakim. It's Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah.
Yes.
It is four prakim. It means it's only two prakim.
We're finish
Chanukah.
Early.
But we're gonna do that anyway. So that's
we can do Megillah right
it's
after?
Not this volume. It's the skinnier
yeah,
the volume. But
this
it, is this
it is
this volume.
It is the,
yeah, so we'll find out if the chickens will sit on unfertilized eggs.
Okay, you could check up on the internet tonight, Howard.
Yes.
Report back.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Okay, let me go. I want to go through one. There's a lot of sections. I want to go through one. The one on festival needs is quite relevant. I don't believe we did it. We didn't do festival. We said Tzorach Moed is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, things you need for the Moed. However, the only work that is allowed is what? Some is review, some is new stuff. Is Maisa Hedjah, not craftsman-like work, which you need for Yontif. A Maisa Uman, craftsman-like, is prohibited even if you need it for the festival. Now, and even if you can do a Maisa Hedjah, you cannot deliberately leave it for Chol HaMoed, right? You have to do it before Chol HaMoed. Now here's
making pots? You need a pot for Chol HaMoed? You couldn't make a pot? Out of clay?
So you buy a pot, don't make a pot.
What?
Or unless you do it in Maisa Hedjah.
But weren't there exceptions to that if it's a danger or stuff
so
like that?
So we'll give a couple examples here. Let's say a leg of a chair fell off. So the chair can't be used. If you need a chair for Chol HaMoed, right, or another one cannot be readily borrowed, right, the leg can be reattached in an unskilled fashion.
But so that it could bake while you sit on it?
But hopefully secure.
Secure, but not skilled.
Yeah.
Right? But if carpentry skills would be required to repair the broken chair, you can't make those repairs on Chol HaMoed. Let's say the chair came off before the Chag. You can't deliberately delay the unskilled repairs until the Chag, and if they were, you're not allowed to fix it. So what are you going to do if your chair breaks? Either you borrow a chair, either you're going to fix it in a not professional way, either you borrow it or you buy it. But you cannot fix it. That's mamash talocha. Now, same idea. How about worn heels or soles? Can they be replaced by a shoemaker on Chol HaMoed? What kind of work is that?
Sounds professional.
That's very professional.
That's
even if you need the shoes for Yontif on Chol HaMoed, you can't. Right? So that's out. So what's your Eitzah? Your only Eitzah is you got to buy a new pair of shoes.
There you go.
That's it. Or borrow a pair of shoes, which I think people do that. Well, Howard's got a lot of plastic shoes in the hallway. He'll be happy to give you. All right. Now, sometimes a particular malacha can be classified as a maisa hedjit or maisa uman, depending on the skill of the person who's doing the work. And a classic example, though this thing has fallen out of use greatly, sewing. Do any of your wives sew? I don't think like anybody sews anymore.
Mine does.
Okay,
yeah.
One.
Yeah. No, occasionally, when a button comes off,
yeah.
I put a button on.
Really? Not making a new piece of clothing. But
they do? Well, I guess they didn't teach any time when like 40 years ago. Anyway, so now, here's the...
Okay,
remain
so,
nameless.
Okay.
So when sewing is done by somebody like me who does not sew, it's for sure considered
clearly,
a maisa hedjah.
Clearly.
I could sew on Chol HaMoed, it's like no problem, because I don't even know how to do it. Right? And therefore, let's say there's a torn, let's say the common thing? The hem goes down, right? So if I need it for Yontif, it's my Yontif suit, I could fix it. Right? Assuming another garment's not readily available. If there's another one that's available, you have three Yontif suits, leave it. But if that's the only one you have, then you could fix it. Now, if you took it to Tip Top Tailors, then you couldn't do it, because that would be a Maisa Uman. Right? However, if he will do a shinui, right, then he does like long stitches or zigzag stitches, lace, not the normal stitch, then he could do this. Now they say, and this you can tell how old the sefer is, the average woman adapted sewing is considered to be a professional.
Is that back from the 50s? When was
whatever, but I'm just saying. So therefore she can't sew for the husband unless she uses a shiner.
That's not today.
I don't know if that's today's woman.
Unless
they went to Eitz Chaim and learned how to sew properly. Okay.
If your sock had a hole in it, could you sew it up?
It's the same thing. I guess there's a professional way.
Yeah, darn it, I don't think you can do
that. Is that your only pair of socks? Of all the socks you have, Howard, is the only pair of socks you have?
He has two. One was in the laundry, and he can't wash the laundry on him.
They're very holy,
they don't really smell.
Okay.
So this is
okay, I'm just saying.
If you need a pair of socks.
So then go borrow a pair of socks.
Buy a pair. You can buy a pair.
Buy a pair of socks. So buy, Howard.
If I sewed it, it's not professional.
Okay, then you could darn it. Okay. Now, how about when you're sewing a button? Button, you can't do a shinui because either it's in or it's out. You know. So many postmen say, you know, that you know you have to find another method.
You can sew it on loose though.
Oh, that's what it says. You can sew it on loosely, or you use it by a thread that passes only through two out of the four holes,
right,
and not all four holes. Yeah. Other postings say it shouldn't be done at all, except unless it's great necessity. Again, it's only assuming you don't have any other shirts, right? Now, it's a difference of opinion whether a tailor or a skilled person can use a sewing machine to make repairs on the festival, because now, you know, a machine is already a chush of a zach over here. So some say you can use it if you use a shinui. It's a little harder to make a shinui with a machine. And others say, no, a shinui wouldn't help because a machine is already, like, it's professional no matter who's using it. Now, other things, knitting, crocheting, embroidery, and other types of needlework are not allowed on Chol HaMoed, because that's definitely skilled work. Now, again, if one unintentionally violated the law and did a Maisa Hedjet, and it wasn't a festival need, it's questionable whether you can use it, and that you can rely on lenient views that say you could use it, but if it was done intentionally, without, you don't care about the law,
you
then you can't use it. Now, next, here's another important rule. The Maisa Hedjet, the not professional way, is permitted not only for your own needs, but also the festival needs of another person. It doesn't have to just be my shirt. It could be, I could darn Howard's sock, not just my sock, right? The example he gives, again, this may be outdated, you can change a flat tire of a friend's car. Car would be used for Yontif needs. But he's assuming that's, I guess that's not a Maisa Umin, is it?
No.
Professional?
No, changing a tire?
For Yontif needs?
No, Yontif Chol-Moed. Chol-Moed. Right? So I guess it's not a professional job, but you can't take payment for it. A Jew could not take payment for it. On the other hand, a non-Jew can be paid to change the tire, because the provision only applies on the recipient receiving the money, that's only if he's a Jew. So now, generally speaking, a Jew cannot be paid for unskilled work on a yontif, but there are exceptions. For example, you can compensate a worker with a free meal, right? Or you can pay him if he's initially hired to do work on yontif and before yontif, so you didn't want to work exclusively for yontif.
So like someone
for the job, so to speak.
So someone to fix your sukkah on Chol HaMoed, you could pay them to fix it.
You shouldn't pay him. Give him a meal.
Right.
If the guy insists on being paid and there's nobody else to pay, then you can pay him.
Because then he's
going to
fix it.
Better get a non-Jew. Non-Jew's for sure a problem. Good. But a Jew is a problem. Now,
so it's not better to give a Jew a meal than a non-Jew.
Well, it'd be nice to give a Jew a meal. That's true. Now, unskilled work can be done not only when fulfilling the need, but also when making the preparation for the thing to fulfill the need. That's called a hechsher, yes. A preparation for it. Let's say, are you allowed to write a social letter on Chol HaMoed?
No.
Yes. Because that's considered Tzarchei Moed.
Social letter.
Yeah. Writing so that an ordinary script is permitted under certain circumstances.
Well,
it's considered a miser. This is done for the festival need.
Yeah, done for the festival need.
Well, that's
social
the festival need.
What's a social letter?
Dear friend.
Festival needs. One may write a social letter on Chol HaMoed if it provides information needed on the festival or contributes to the festival enjoyment of either the recipient or the sender of the letter.
But you get a pleasure.
If I enjoy writing a letter of how my grandchildren were, you know, running around and frolicking, I'm giving you a simcha by writing it, you can write it.
Okay.
Not just writing a list for shopping. It used to be a time when people enjoyed writing letters and people enjoyed reading letters. That's long gone. Right? So anyway, so now you, or let's say when you could write, forget, when you're allowed to write. If you're allowed to write, huh? How about sharpening the pencil?
If you need it to write.
So since I'm already allowed to write, I'm allowed to sharpen the pencil.
Yeah.
But then, that thing, I can't do any excessive exertion, and that's one step away. Okay?
So now, am I allowed to write in the journal a diary to say, oh, you know, today I had a wonderful day.
If that gives you pleasure, you could do that. Yeah. You should start with a little shinoi, but yeah, you could.
Well, you better just type it out. Okay, but as we said the other day, right? No, to put it on the computer.
Write the first line with your left hand, or
write on a slant. Write
yeah, there's different shinois. Either write on a slant, or do the first.
And that's because it gives me pleasure to write.
Because it gives you pleasure, right?
But that's right. We said before, there's if you write an email or computer, there's no problem.
Right. Now, Hamaisa Hedyot also can be done if a festival need, is not a certainty, but it's a possibility. Let's say you're having guests coming, they may need a crib, they're not sure. You could assemble a full-size crib, anticipating maybe the guests will need it. So since it's a Hamaisa Hedyot, you can do that, it's a possible need. You can also prepare one day of Chol HaMoed for another day of Chol HaMoed, that's not a problem. As we have Yom Tov for Yom Tov, with one day for Yom Tov, it's a problem. And also you can do a malacha done if it will inevitably be accompanied by a second prohibited malacha, provided your intention was only to do the permitted one. We already learned that case. Okay, can you cut leaves from a tree on Chol HaMoed to use as schach for a sukkah? Can you do that?
Yes.
Yes, it's a moed need. But how do you have to trim it?
For the shinui.
How do you trim it? What did we say?
Indirectly.
You trim only one side of the tree and not the other side of the tree. Because if you trim both sides of the tree,
it looks like you're trimming the tree.
Looks like you're trimming the tree. You only trim one side, yeah, you are in a way trimming the tree, but after Chol HaMoed, you're going to have to finish off the job. Yeah. How about, let's say you're going to wash, you're eating outdoors, you have to wash your hands, right? But you're going to wash it on the lawn.
You're watering the grass.
So, yeah, but that's indirect, so that's okay. Now
you couldn't do that on Yom Tov, for example.
Right. Now here's important to determine how do we know if a malacha is indeed a festival need or not? We'll see in a minute. Very important. You got to consider not only the nature of the malacha but the importance of the malacha regarding certain household tasks. For example, washing the floor or vacuuming the carpet. Can you just carte blanche do that?
No.
If you want to live with your wife, you do.
So now, so he says, it could be done in areas of the house which need frequent cleaning. Let's say once a week or more often. Let's say the kitchen, yes. But how about the upstairs guest room they haven't used for the last 2 months?
No.
You know?
Well, if guests are coming there and it's not nice.
But if guests aren't coming, I'm just saying. In other words, something that needs it often, yes. But somebody say, well, the nanny's coming anyway. Just let her do the whole house anyway. But you really don't need this done for Chol HaMoed at all, because this floor isn't even so dirty. She's here, just wash it up anyway. That would not be considered a need. Other household improvements, even though they don't need skill, are still not allowed because they're of very minor importance, such as nailing a picture on a wall. Couldn't do that on Chol HaMoed because it's not, you don't need to have the picture on Chol HaMoed unless your in-laws are coming to watch the picture.
I was going to suggest something like that, actually.
Right?
I have to say, like, beautification of your house you couldn't do because you've got guests coming, you want to reposition the furniture, whatever, and what if you enjoy it?
It doesn't matter, you'll see in a minute.
So what about hanging a picture in your sukkah?
That's a noise sukkah. That's to beautify the mitzvah. That's different. That's a need of the moed. But beautifying your house is not a need for the moed. Others permit certain improvements. They don't say it because it beautifies the home for the festival and don't require much skill. So machlokas, therefore, is hanging up a picture. Polishing shoes, according to many authorities, is permitted unless another pair of polished shoes is available. Painting a house, even in a non-skilled manner, is not allowed. That's mamish zilzulmoy. It's degrading the festival because I once painted, and you're only thinking about painting, and it's, you know, it's not something you should do. Complex hole repairs that usually require the service of an electrician, carpenter, or plumber may not be made a Chol HaMoed, either in a skilled or unskilled,
What about Surah Moed? You need your skill.
Hold on. Because usually you need a Maisa Uman. They're prohibited even when needed on the festival unless a halakhically valid shear is employed. Shear is employed. Now, here's an example. A toilet which is not working can be repaired even in a skilled fashion because that's an essential service. Wait a minute. What if you have 5 bathrooms in the house? Then you don't fix it. It means I gotta go up down the stairs? Doesn't matter. Then you don't fix it because you don't really need it because you have another 4. Let's say both the shower and the bath are out of order. So then repairs could be made to them. So again, a boiler which isn't functioning prepared. So it depends how important it is. So if it's the oven, obviously you have to fix the oven. What if it's the spare oven?
Pesach.
You don't do the Sperovim. So it depends how necessary it is and how not necessary it is.
You need it for Pesach.
Work in the garden, planting, weeding, mowing the grass, watering the plants is not allowed. On the other hand, picking flowers for decorative purposes is permitted. But even pulling out one blade of grass is not allowed if there's no real need for it. Insects in the home or garden that are causing damage or distress can be killed on Chol Hamoed. Now, let's, last point over, we're done in a minute, maybe 2 minutes. Here's an, now what about enjoyment on Chol Hamoed? Is that called a festival need or not?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Therefore, you could play musical instruments on Chol Hamoed, tell it to your son, or you can even repair a defective one in an unskilled fashion. So let's say your guitar, one of the strings comes out, you could put that in. Okay. How about to buy and assemble a toy for a child's, pleasure? As long as it doesn't need skill, a lot of skill is allowed. Sorting pieces of assorted toys and games that are mixed together, even though the border is permitted for a festival, purpose. And now, another interesting thing, how about a tiyul? Taking a pleasure trip. Is that a legitimate festival need? Yes, it is.
All of Israel's doing it.
That's yeah. Right. Therefore, you're allowed to wash. When you go to the gas station, you can pump the car with gas, because you need gas. You can wash the windows. You can see through the windows, right? And drive the family for a nice day. But driving the car without any particular festival need would not be allowed. And for that reason, no, some places don't allow driving lessons, because you don't have to do it on Chol Hamoed. You know everyone wants to do that, right? But now we come to, what about auto repairs? So it depends. If it's need, you need the car, and it's not a Maisa Uman. So how many things are not professional things when it comes to auto repairs? So how about to jump a car to the battery is dead?
No, that's not professional.
That even a Jewish man can do. So that's allowed, right? As long as it's a continual pleasure trip. Now, if a mechanic has to make these repairs, these simple repairs, then you give it to a non-Jew or a Jew without pay, but certainly a Jew shouldn't be paid for that. A Jewish mechanic working for free should do it in a secluded area. However, most repairs in a car are a Maisa Uman, right? And therefore, repairs are not allowed on Chol Hamoed, even if the car needs it for the festival needs. If your car is broken and you got to take it to Leo, and Leo's the only guy who knows how to fix it, you cannot fix it on Chol Hamoed.
You got to go to the bakery and buy bread. You got to do all these things, and you can't.
You got two legs.
Get the bike. Get the bike. You get the bike out.
Unless you mamish won't be able to eat. Unless you live, you live in,
where?
Unless you live in Picton, Ontario, and it's a 20-minute drive to the store.
And bring home a ton of groceries.
Borrow a car.
Take a taxi.
Take a cab.
Howard, if you call me up and you tell me your car is broken, I'll be happy to lend you my car.
Wow, what a friend! You see how
I would lend it to you. Now, what do you really want to do? Do you really want on the first day after Yontif? You want that car ready to go?
For work,
right? That's the problem over there, right? So the only thing, maybe a flat tire, there's a machlokas about that. Maybe a flat tire is not such a big deal, so they give some leniencies under certain circumstances.
You have to put the mini tire on.
If your car is really broken, you don't fix a whole lot.
So if you broke down,
now, unless let's say you broke down in the middle of north, well then you have to do the least thing. If it towed, get you home, get it towed home. If your mom is in the middle of Sheboygan, and if you're not going to get it fixed, you're like, you're done for. You know, who knows what's going to happen to you? Then okay, then maybe you get the repair done. But under most normal circumstances, you have a broken car, and you stay with a broken car. Shkoyach, everybody. We're done with Chol Hamoed, and we're moving on to Hanukkah, Sunday. Remember the skinny book. We have one extra copy of the skinny book if anybody doesn't have one, if they want to purchase it. It's one one. Oh, you want to say Kaddish? You get an extra Kaddish in. So you guys missed, okay? Because they missed Borchu. So then you can say Borchu after the Kaddish.
Okay.
Rabbi Chaim and Kaddish, Matzah Kaddish, Borchu, Zakas, Ol, Vigram, Torah, Vimis, Shemar, Ronech, Vait, Salam, Sitko, Yagdil, Torah, Vietir.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen. Whoops.